From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, July 23rd, 2019. The Trump administration's proposed new regulations for the SNAP food stamp program announced today would likely render thousands of Maine families ineligible for the benefit. That's according to a local low-income advocacy group. Robin Merrill of Maine Equal Justice says the state is already grappling with a high rate of hunger, which she says is due in part to tighter eligibility requirements put in place under former Governor Paul LePage.
We have an opportunity now in Maine to reverse some of those decisions that have had a negative impact. And these restrictions from the federal level, this proposed rule would just take that flexibility away from states and just make it harder for people to access the food they need.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says the new restrictions are needed to ensure assistance is provided to people who truly need it. There's a 60-day public comment period on the proposal. Maine's only national park is working on options to accommodate a surge in visitors that has made parking difficult. The number of yearly visitors to Acadia National Park ranged between 2 million and 2.5 million from 2000 to 2013, but has surged since. There were 3.5 million visitors last year. And sales of single-family homes in Maine dropped more than 7% last month as compared to the year before. The median price of those homes, however, increased by about 5% during the same time to $239,000. More than 80 animals have been seized from a property in Solon, Maine, after authorities found they were in need of urgent medical attention. Jim Britt, public information officer for the Animal Welfare Department, says a temporary emergency shelter has been set up in Dixfield.
All the animals will be rescued today and transported to the emergency shelter and other shelters that are receiving some of the animals.
Britt says most of the animals seized are dogs, along with cats, chickens, and two horses. Because of an ongoing investigation, the property owner's name has not been released. Meanwhile, local animal shelters are accepting donations to help with the animals' care. Needed items include pads, blankets, towels, cleaning supplies, and dog food and treats. Looking at weather tonight, skies clearing with some clouds at the coast and lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with highs in the low 70s to low 80s. On Thursday, partly cloudy with some light showers in the afternoon and highs in the low 70s to low 80s. And Friday, partly sunny, with highs in the high 70s to the high 80s. It's been more than a month since the city of Portland opened its expo building as an emergency shelter to house the hundreds of migrants who've arrived from the southern U.S. border with Mexico. But with a deadline approaching to clear out of the expo, officials are scrambling to find housing options, even 30 miles or more away from Portland. As Robbie Feinberg reports, that distance from other immigrants and from resources can create even more complications for some newcomers.
When Maurice Nimwira arrived in Maine about 7 years ago, he left nearly everything behind, including his wife and children, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Nimwira looked to the existing immigrant communities around him in Portland for support.
You become automatically friends because of the language. And those who speak Portuguese are just those who come from Angola and Lingala, mostly from Congo. The life is an interacting life where people seem to know each and everyone.
In the years since, Nimwira has taken classes and now works as a medical interpreter for a hospital. Then last fall, after years apart, his wife and children finally joined him in Maine.
So it was for me a happy surprise to have them. And I got supported by people here in Maine to find a house where all could fit in.
It's a large family. There's Nimwira, his wife, and seven children. So instead of only looking in Portland or surrounding communities, he worked with a few organizations in the Midcoast and found a big five-bedroom unit in Bath, 35 miles up the coast.
Bath is a small community, and as small it is, as small you come together. So it gave me an opportunity to meet new people and have to know more new people.
Maurice's decision to leave Portland for Bath is one that relatively few immigrant families have chosen to make in recent years. Yet in the coming weeks, many families staying at the Portland Expo may look at similar arrangements as city, state, and regional officials look away from the immediate Portland area for housing.
We have been desperately trying to identify units of housing. You know, we do not anticipate finding 150 units of housing in one geographic region.
That's Portland City Manager John Jennings assessing the situation last week. Due to contractual obligations, the city faces an August 15th deadline to relocate more than 250 asylum seekers now staying in the Expo building. The city has space for about 110 people at its overflow shelter, but that still leaves about 150 more in need of a place to go. And Christina Egan, the executive director of the Greater Portland Council of Governments, says it's a difficult puzzle to solve given the already stretched rental market.
We had about 10 different town managers call property owners in their towns, and we turned up one vacancy. So that just underscores what a housing crunch we already have in this region.
Right now, officials are working on two options. One is to look beyond only Portland to communities such as Bath, Brunswick, Lewiston, and even Ellsworth. The second option, says Egan, is called a host home program, in which asylees are being matched with families in surrounding towns who can open space in their homes for at least a few months.
If they can do more, even better, to get us through mid-October. In mid-October, seasonal housing starts to open up in southern Maine, and there are quite a few units that will be coming on to the market. And so we think that that could be plan B, a second bridge to permanent housing, to buy a little bit more time for us to find the homes that the asylees can live in for a longer period of time.
Egan says the organization has already received inquiries from more than 100 families, with a goal to match up to 40. But with these relocations, there are new challenges. Claude Raganja is the executive director of Prosperity Maine, which provides financial literacy to immigrants. He says one concern is ensuring that as families move over the next few months, they need to stay on top of their address changes to make sure that immigration and court documents don't get lost and jeopardize their cases.
We have to figure out ways. But again, it's all positive that really people find a place, a private place where they can have rest with their families. But it doesn't come without any challenge.
The other challenge is more cultural. Because of Portland's immigrant population, many of the city's immigrant and community groups have quickly provided services, language supports, and cultural brokering to support asylum seekers. But Portland City Councilor Pius Ali says other towns that have never hosted these populations will have to work hard to ensure that new families feel trusted and supported.
They've never hosted anybody who is not white and or who is not from this country. So there's the need for the work to figure out how do we support them, whether it is the host communities or the immigrants that we are moving to those communities.
In Brunswick, where about 20 asylum seekers arrived earlier this month, a number of organizations have been pushing the town to hire someone to assist the new arrivals and work as a cultural broker. Groups like the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition say they'll be working to assure immigrants statewide will receive the services they need in the months ahead. For Maurice Namwira and his family, who moved to Bath last year, the transition hasn't been completely smooth. His daughter says that the sense of cultural isolation was hard for the first year, particularly with so few immigrants in their new city. But the family says they've received help from several community groups and have mentors and tutors to guide them. Namwira says he'd be happy to help the new arrivals to Maine in just the same way. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. There's no Maine Calling tomorrow because of Robert Mueller's testimony before Congress. I'm Nora Flaherty.